Welcome back to the Jeff Paul Show at the Talk 1065, 36 minutes after the hour on this Thursday morning. She'll come on the program. Congressman Mike Rogers, that's in the next hour. Also from Alabama Daily News, Todd Stacey, and we'll wrap it all up at the 11 o'clock hour with my friend Matt Simpson, state representative from Baldwin County. So make sure you stay tuned for the remainder of the show, if you can. Join us on the line now. He is the chairman of the Jefferson County Republican Party, also a former member of the Alabama Legislature. Paul DeMarco is on the line. Paul, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Good to hear from you. How are things up in up your way in Birmingham?
Well, you know, we've gotten through Labor Day, so everybody's kind of getting back into the routines of the fall, even though it may not feel like fall weather, but everybody's getting back into the swing of things. You got high school football. School is back in session in some way. Some folks doing virtual, some folks in line, and actually, you know, it's Labor Day, so kind of the kickoff of campaign season. So we're, now that we've got the municipal elections behind us, everybody's focused on November.
What's the school situation up there? Sorry to get off topic here. Jefferson County Schools, there's a push to get back in schools here in Mobile. I think they're going to try some kind of alternating pattern, you know, finding these big school systems, them trying to figure their way. Have you heard any, is there any push underway to get kids back into classroom up your way?
Yeah, you know, we've got so many school districts up here in Jefferson County, so many municipalities with school systems. Everybody's doing something a little different. Most schools are back in session. Some had done kind of a rotating, you know, 2 days a week for these students, 2 days with it, but most of them are getting back full, and then there are those students that are doing virtual. So you have some in school and some that are doing virtual. So it's a mix of both, and to allow parents who are comfortable to send their kids in school and those that aren't to do it virtually. So I think everybody's back in the routine now that we're past Labor Day.
Paul, I wanted to get you on your latest column here. I read it in the Trustville Tribune. I'm sure it shows up in some other places as well. But writing about the census and talking about the importance of the census. I'm not one of these guys that's anti-census by any means, but I find myself just kind of, it's a little cringe-inducing when you talk about the census and why it's important, and the reason you people lay out is, look how much money we're going to get from the federal government if you fill out your census. Not exactly a plea to the sensibilities of a conservative, you ask me.
No, I think the key for Alabama is, you know, if we don't meet a certain number, we're going to lose representation to a state, to states like California and some of these other states. And so you're going to trade a representative and an electoral vote from, you know, what I would say conservative Alabama to some of these other states that will affect Congress. So I think put the money aside, but we will lose a voice in Congress and we'll lose a vote in the Electoral College. So put the money aside and just look at it from that perspective.
Right, and I get the state can't put a get out to participate in your census effort, making it about politics, but that is the more compelling reason that if you really fear the direction of the country, if you're really worried about socialism, all these you're better off with more Republicans in Congress on Capitol Hill. And the best way to get that is to participate in census, because we will send more Republicans than Democrats in Alabama.
Well, and unfortunately, Alabama's influence has dropped. I mean, back in the 40s, Alabama had 9 congressional seats. And so, you know, you look at Mississippi, that's got 4. And so, you know, it's been sliding down, and it looks like if Alabama doesn't get 70-plus, maybe 70-75%, that we could lose a seat. So it gets back to, like you said, it gets back to having that voice in Congress to share Alabama values, as opposed to what's coming out of other states like New York or California that want a different view of this country and how this country should run when it comes to liberties and freedoms. And that's the compelling reason why we want to make sure we have as strong a voice in Washington, D.C. as possible.
Well, and I guess the next logical step is right now, if all, you know, in the way it's looking, Alabama could lose a congressional seat. Whether people realize it or not, that's going to set in motion a set of dominoes that you're going to see a lot of upheaval in the legislature next year. With all the things going on in the world right now, COVID-19 and all the after effects of that, getting to that point, that redistricting, that reapportionment effort is going to be, I think, the dominant story. We're not talking about a whole lot of 2021.
I agree with you. If we get through the pandemic, you know, if the discussions are accurate about the vaccine coming out this fall or coming out the first of the year, and we're post-pandemic politically, that's the story next year in Alabama. That's going to be the heavy lift for the legislature. There'll be a lot of discussion about what the state does post-mortem, looking at how the state handled the pandemic. Absolutely. But where the legislature will have to spend so much time is, how do you reconfigure if the state loses? And Jeff, you've been watching this for a long time. You'll know that there's going to be a lot of unhappy faces as folks are trying to figure out, you know, who in the state of Alabama, who loses. Everybody will have a congressional seat, but who loses some political power? Where does that shift or whatever around the state? So there'll be a lot of discussion. When will that be done? You know, a judge just ruled that the census could have another 30 days until October. Well, then if you don't get the numbers until next spring, it may be that the legislature ends up having to have a special session if they can't get it done during the regular session in 2021 that would end, late spring, May or June.
But they're already having these discussions right now, wouldn't you think? If things stay the same as they are, they lose a seat, I don't think this is going to happen, but I have heard it, that the state can lose two congressional seats. They're already kind of war gaming that, if you will, in Montgomery.
Well, that's right. I was involved and was on the committee the last census, and, you know, we started looking at the numbers and started looking at how, you know, the legislative seats, school board, congressional seats, before we even had the numbers, you just start, you know, you can look, that, you know, every year where the numbers are, where the population shifts are. So, yeah, they're already looking at it. They just won't be able to do anything until they get the numbers. But there's already discussions going on and processes by the legislative chairs on how that will end up looking.
I mean, theoretically, let's move 3-4 years down the road. Alabama right now, buoyed by having Richard Shelby as the appropriations chairman, seven members of the House. I would say two very senior members in the House with Adderholt and Mike Rogers. We get down the road, possibly without Shelby, a freshman or two, or two people that are very green when it comes to the ways of Capitol Hill. I mean, it could really be drastically different in several years from now if this goes the way a lot of people think it will.
Well, you're right, and seniority is, with the influence in Congress, makes a difference with those who end up serving on chairmanship for the various committees. And like I said, the leadership positions that both Mike Rogers serves in, the leadership position that Robert Adderholt serves in. You know, you look at what Bradley Byrne has been able to do in his time representing Mobile when it comes to the port and the manufacturers in Mobile, it makes a difference. So you're right. It's going to be a story that will transcend 2021 once we get through this redistricting.
Joined by Paul DeMarco, Jefferson County Republican Party chairman and columnist, and also a former state legislature as well. Paul, let's talk national politics, head into November 3rd. The bombshells are dropping. I was ranting this morning about Bob Woodward's new book. It's interesting to me, just because I'm interested in this stuff. I don't think it moves the needle one way or another.
You know, it's the how many times you're going to cry wolf. I think there, over 4 years, if you look at the attempt to discredit and criticize Donald Trump, I think it just kind of, people are like, oh, it's just another day, another story. And I think it obviously doesn't move his base, but I think even independents are like, you've made every effort to attack the man, but what's looking onto the streets? I think they're looking at real-life riots in the streets in Portland and Chicago and law and order and the economy and the future of the country. I think they all see this as just just typical politics. You don't believe it. I really do. I don't think I agree with you 100%. It doesn't move the needle. We're going to see every other day they're going to drop some story about Donald Trump this, Donald Trump that. You look, they did it last week with the story about the veterans. Nobody believes that. I mean, it just, unless you want to support your supporter of Joe Biden, it's just between now and November the 3rd, once or twice a week, we're going to see some bombshell drop about Donald Trump. We've seen that since the day he got elected, before he got elected in 2016. You can only shoot so many times before people say they don't believe the stories that you're writing.
Well, and the other thing is, if you look at this solely from the perspective of people wanting to vote for something, while there are more people that will vote against something than for something, there are still people that will vote for something, and I would offer you both Barack Obama and Donald Trump. I feel like people were voting for them. I don't really see that in Joe Biden. I don't really see, at least the campaign's not making an effort, vote for Joe Biden. Only argument they're making, vote for Joe Biden because he's not Donald Trump.
Well, I think the level of enthusiasm for Joe Biden is not there, and so Democrats say, we can't keep people excited about Joe Biden, so that's why we're going to see these attacks. I mean, look, this is just somebody selling a book, and between now and the election, how many folks are going to be selling a book, but to sell their books, they have to have this story, this dramatic story about Donald Trump, and that is going to be the tactic is, we know you may not be excited about Joe Biden, but you got to be against Donald Trump, and what is this going to mean the next 4 years? And so that's what this election is going to be the next 60 days, less than 60 days now, about how they're trying to figure out what finally pierces the Teflon with Donald Trump and really is what sticks that we can take him down. So far, they've tried impeachment. They've tried every story in the world, and it hasn't worked. And again, I don't think it's going to work in November because I think he's going to get reelected.
I mean, they have really, really devalued the impact of the so-called October surprise because every day is an October surprise.
Well, I think they're thinking because they know every time they try something, every story that breaks, it doesn't work. So you're right. They think they're like, we just can't wait until 3 days before the election to drop something. We're just going to have to do enough of it and hope there's a cumulative effect that it wears on people to say enough is enough. I think that's their strategy. It's pretty transparent. That's what their strategy is going to be.
Is it clear that, you know, enough is enough is that's already baked into cake? If you rely on polling data, and I'm skeptical of polling data like everybody, but if you're relying on the polling data, that's already there. Where do you build on that? And if you're looking at this campaign and you're relying on that polling data, you got to be looking in the rearview mirror what happened in 2016 and the polling data then. Well, it's worth having a little bit of extra there just in case 2016 happens all over again. I don't see where this game of addition is going on at all on the Democrat side.
I think the voters have such fatigue of we don't like Trump. We don't like Donald Trump. They're looking at the now and present. Where are we? They're dealing with the pandemic, but they're also watching the news stories about the crime and what's going on around this country. And they don't like the way that's going to look in a Joe Biden administration. Because you until you saw the past week when they said, oh dang it, the polls are showing people don't like crime. They don't like riots. We better do something about it. There was never any protest about it. Did you see anything at the Democratic convention about it? That's what voters are focusing on, and I think that's why they're saying we'll feel safer under a Donald Trump administration because he's going to back the police, he's going to back law and order. The Democrats aren't. They've been talking about defunding the police. They've been talking about issues in Congress they can do to weaken some of those issues. That's not going to fly with voters. It's not going to fly with voters in Alabama, but I don't think it's going to fly with those independent voters in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, or Florida.
Hey, Paul, we're about out of time here. Before we wrap it up, folks want to find you on social media. Where can they go?
Well, I'm on different various medias, but on Facebook and Twitter, I post all my columns every week.
All right, well, go check Paul out. We got to get out of here, Paul, as always. Thanks for making time for us.
Thank you. Have a great day, Jeff.
That's Paul DeMarco, Republican Party chairman in Jefferson County, columnist as well, former state legislator. We're going to take a time out here. We'll be right back. This is FN Talk 106.5. And whispers to me, carry on, sweet southern comfort, carry on.